The New Testament reading is from Colossians chapter 4, commencing at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 10, commencing at verse 1. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If the head of the house loves peace, your peace will rest on the house. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for workers deserve their wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal those who are ill and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe off our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Our loving God, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that in this Gospel of Luke, you give us clear instructions about what it means to be followers of yours. And we pray today, Father, as we look at the second in this series, that, Lord, that you would help us to hear your command to go, that we would feel the full force of that, and that you would give us wills and spirits, hearts to obey. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, a man called Tom Cohen owns a company that has been developing machines that pick fruit. And you can see an example of that up on the screen. Cohen says this: if you can put a man on the moon, then you can get a machine to pick a strawberry, which probably fair enough, isn't it? His machine uses this robotic arm to access each strawberry. It uses 3D vision to work out the colour of it to make sure it's ripe or not. And it uses a gripper with those cushioned claws and turns it 9 degrees to snap it off its stalk. his prototype picks one strawberry every 4 seconds. What do you think? This month, I actually went to the Sorrel Fruit Farm. Who's been to the Sorrel Fruit Farm? And I've got to say that I picked a strawberry more than once every 4 seconds. One for me, one for the punnet. One for me, one for the punnet. And yes, I did feel reasonably sick at the end. But what Tom Cohen's doing is just in miniature, other companies have taken it to the next degree. And I've got a little video to show you. What do you think? Pretty impressive. So what do they do this? Who on earth would spend all this time and effort and research doing this? Why on earth would you have these machines harvest your fruit? Well, listen to what reporter Lucy Hooker says. She says, developers emphasise that the motivation is not to replace migrant labour with cheaper, more efficient robots. In fact, it's not proving easy to replicate the standards that human pickers deliver. Strawberry farmers say they are increasingly struggling to find people to do the work, and so they need the robots. In the UK, the fall in the value of the pound following the EU referendum vote has made it increasingly difficult to recruit overseas workers. UK citizens seem reluctant to do such seasonal, physically laborious work. And I can attest to that. It's really hard picking those strawberries. In the US, growers say they've had to let fruit rot in the fields. Tighter immigration rules, a rise to the minimum wage and a dwindling birth rate in Mexico have all meant there just aren't enough workers available to harvest them. Why are people developing robots to harvest the fruit? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You could see that coming like a steam train, couldn't you? But isn't that what Jesus says in our gospel reading today? There's a great big harvest out there. There's a whole lot of people who are there who need to hear the good news of God's salvation and love. There's a whole big harvest out there. It's plentiful, but the workers are few. And so in our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 10, you might want to open your Bibles if you've got a phone there, or underneath the sheet in front of you, you should be able to find a Bible there. We have a number of Bibles here for your access. In this passage from Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 through 16, Jesus says, go and pick the fruit. Go and reap the harvest. Jesus sends these 72 disciples out in the harvest field to win people for him. We're going to explore these instructions under 6 travel tips today, and we'll just whiz through them fairly quickly, and then we will apply that to us here today. Tip number 1, don't go alone. Luke 10 verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Just as Jesus sent out the 12 in Luke chapter 9, here in Luke chapter 10, he sends out the 72, and he sends them out 2 by 2. He doesn't send them alone as sole missionaries. He assigns to each missionary a travel companion. Jesus is very clear, don't go alone. Travel companions are able to support one another, they're able to pray for one another, they're able to encourage one another. Tip number one is don't go alone. Tip number two, pray for more workers to go. Luke 10 verse 2, he told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus says there's a whole huge harvest out there. And they're in desperate need of workers who will go and share this good news with the world. And so given this shortage, Jesus says, I want you to spend time every day praying to the Lord of the harvest for him to release more workers. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This prayer reminds us that God is the Lord of the harvest. We've got a job to do, sure. But it's not like it all depends on us. God is the Lord of the harvest. He is overseeing everything, and he has got workers in every corner of the world. We need to be faithful to do what he calls us to do, yes, but God is the Lord of the harvest. So ask him, the Lord of the harvest, for more workers in the harvest field. Tip number two, go with an empty backpack. Verse 3 and 4, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. From the outset, Jesus makes it clear that it's not always going to be easy for these disciples. Along the way, they'll encounter all sorts of dangers, all sorts of struggles and opposition. Jesus describes it as lambs among wolves. The disciples are heading into possibly hostile territory. Given this sort of warning, you might expect Jesus to say, so I want you to fill your backpack with this and that and the other thing. Be prepared. Take this with you. But he says, no. Have nothing with you. Trust in God for the provision. Trust in God for your protection. Go with an empty backpack. As the disciples head into this harvest field, God wants to teach these disciples a really important lesson. They are not to be self-reliant. They are not to be self-dependent. They are to trust in the Lord for everything that they need. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God will provide what they need. Tip number three is go with an empty backpack. Tip number four, go and look for people of peace. Verse 5-7. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Jesus says to his disciples, when you arrive at a town and you want to know where to stay, just listen to what happens and see how people respond to you. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. Now, to us modern readers, that sounds pretty bizarre, doesn't it? When was the last time you went up and someone said, peace to this house? Maybe hi or hello, but certainly not peace this house. It's an ancient custom. It's an ancient idiom. It's an ancient greeting that was popular in the day, and it's still popular in the Middle East today. There's a certain formula that they always use, one to give and one to receive. Jesus tells his disciples to offer this peace and to see what the response is. If he says, peace be with you, and they say, and also with you, then they'll know that There's a goodwill there, and they're able to stay there and receive that hospitality. He says, if you are accepted, then Stay there, accept the hospitality, accept their care, accept their love, be thankful, eat whatever is put on the table. Jesus is telling his disciples here to look for people who can be partners in their mission, who can be supporters and allies for them in their town. He says, go and look for people of peace who are able to support you as you go and seek to reap the harvest. Tip number four is, look for people of peace. Tip number five, pick low-hanging fruit. I certainly did this at Sorrel Fruit Farm. Verse 8 and 9. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus is saying, if you're welcomed in a town, if you're accepted and people are eager for you to stay, then whatever you do, don't move on. Just stay where you are. Be a person of blessing where you are. If people receive you and welcome you and listen to your message about Jesus, then stay where you are and seek to be a person of blessing. For these disciples, they're preparing the way for Jesus, because in a few short weeks, Jesus will come through these towns and these people will be prepared to hear from himself about the kingdom and about his lordship. Pick the low-hanging fruit. And tip number six, lastly, don't take rejection personally. Just move on. Verse 10, when you enter a town and not welcomed, go to its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus tells his disciples that when they enter a town and they're not welcomed for a whole lot of different reasons, when they're not accepted, when their message is rejected, they're to simply just move on. Not to take it personally, but just simply to move on. There's some words of judgment here which sound hard for us to hear. It says, better of the day for the day for Sodom than for these people. Why? Because Jesus the Messiah is about to come. They may have rejected a prophet in the past, but here, if they reject Jesus, they're rejecting the Messiah, the Son of God. He says, if people don't want to listen, just move on. Don't take this rejection personally. Simply wipe off the dust of your feet and move on. Verse 16, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. In Luke chapter 10, we have these six travel tips for these disciples going out on mission. Don't travel alone. Take someone with you. Pray for more workers to go. Ask the Lord of the harvest and he'll do that. Go with an empty backpack. Make sure that you trust in God for everything you need. Go and look for people of peace, people who can support you in your mission. Pick the low-hanging fruit. If people are interested, then share with them. And lastly, don't take rejection personally. Just simply move on. So what are these six travel tips? What is this passage from Luke's Gospel in chapter 10? What does it have to do with us here today in 21st century Australia? How do we apply this to us here today? And not just if we go to a mission trip, but for everyday life. How do we apply this to us today? Well, friends, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you are on the move. Our God is a missionary God and we are a missionary people. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you are part of a movement. God is on the move and God calls us, his people, to likewise be on the move. He calls the 72 and he says, go. And they go. He calls the 12 in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And what happens? They go. And Jesus says, likewise to us today, go. There's a harvest out there. There's a whole bunch of people that will receive this good news, this message of salvation and love and forgiveness and eternal life as we go to them. So go and work in God's harvest. Jesus commands us, his people, to go. He doesn't send robots to harvest. He sends his children. He sends you and me. Of course, it's difficult. We live in a society where it's hard to go. Some people are what you might call post-Christian. They think they know all about the Christian faith. They grew up with it, and it's something they think belongs to yesterday. I was having a haircut the other day. Yes, I still do have haircuts. And I was speaking to the hairdresser, and they asked me what I did. Bad question. And so I told them a bit about what it means to be a pastor and what it means to be what's happening at the church. And she said, oh, is that the church on the corner? I always see people coming out of that place. And then she said, do you hire it out a lot? And I said, no, actually not, no. No. And she said, I didn't think people went to church anymore. There's a lot of people actually out there in society that are what you call post-Christian. They think they belong to yesterday. That's yesterday's news, and now we're onto something much bigger and bolder and brighter and better. And others in our society, they're what you might call pre-Christian. We had a small child at Greenhouse last year who went to Christmas, heard about Jesus being born, and then he went to Easter and he heard how Jesus died, and he thought it was terribly sad that Jesus had died so young. He didn't know about any of the stories of Jesus' life because they were the only two things he knew about Jesus, his birth and his death. There are so many people out there in our society today that don't know the first thing about Jesus. The Jesus they've rejected, they don't know the first thing about. And so we have these post-Christians and these pre-Christians. It can be hard for us to be able to go and share this good news with people that come from such a variety of places. But Jesus commands each one of us to go. Some of us don't need to go far. Some of us, the primary place that God has told us to go is to our families. Our families need the love of Jesus there. Our families need someone who can be a light for the gospel, a light in the family, who can demonstrate with their acts of sacrificial love the love of Jesus and can care amongst their family. That is where God has primarily called them to go. Great. If that's you, wonderful. Shine the light of Jesus there. By your example, by your words, shine Jesus in your family. Maybe God's called you to go to the workplace. Many people here have got a work, a school, a work where God has, you spend a lot of time every week, and that is where God is sending you to go. And Jesus says to you right there in the workplace, bless people, serve them, proclaim the good news. Show by your work ethic, show by your language, show by your testimony and your behavior that you are a follower of Jesus. God is sending you to school. God is sending you to work. Be his witness there. For others, he's sending primarily to community groups, to social groups, to your neighborhood, to the people that live right and left of you in your street. Jesus says to you, go and be my witnesses there. Go and bless, go and serve, go go and share my good news. And still others, well, others God sends across the seas to distant people, to distant cultures, and says, go proclaim my gospel there. Friends, every follower of Jesus, every follower of Jesus is part of God's movement, and God is on the move. God is a missionary God. We are his missionary people. God is on the move, and he's calling us, also his people, his followers, to likewise be on the move. Friends, today, will you hear this call to go? Will you go? God calls you to go, whether it be at home or at school or work, or whether it be a social grub or your neighborhood, or whether it be across the seas. Will you go? And as you go, will you trust? Will you trust that God will give you what you need? That he'll be with you to the very end of the age. And that you don't have to worry about the results, because God is the Lord of the harvest. All we need to do is to go. Shall we pray? God, you are a missionary God. And we are your missionary people. God, you are on the move, and you call us, your people, to likewise be on the move. You call the 72 to go. You call the 12 to go. You call us to go. We pray, Father, today that you'd find in us willing hearts, willing feet. We know, Lord, that we have the best news in all the world. News about your love, your steadfast, amazing, redeeming, transforming love. Call us to follow you, to call others to follow you. And Lord, we know that you've called us to be a people of blessing. Help us to bless all that we meet as we go. Lord, for those here today whose primary place where they go is the home, bless them, Father. Give them strength as they raise children, as they look after other family members. Give them your love and your kindness and your patience and a word in season. To those whose primary place is school and work, Father, help them to display the love of God in all that they do. In what they say, their language, and their work ethic, and how they go about what they do. For those of us, Lord, who in community groups and neighbourhoods, Lord, please help us likewise to be your hands and feet. Lord God, you call us to go. And today, we say yes. We will follow you wherever you call us. Just stay seated, and we're going to sing a song. Andrew's just going to teach us a really small song. We're just going to use this as a prayer now for us to bed in what God's been saying to us today through his word. Yes, we will follow. Yes, we will go.
I'll just say yes. You lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say. This life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. And we all sing. Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord, my life is yours. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, my life. My life is yours. You can join the verse if you like to. It's really easy. I'll just say yes. You lead the way. Yes, Lord. I'm not afraid. Afraid of what it means for me to say. This life you gave, it's not my own. It's not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Church sings, yes, Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is what? Yours. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Yes, Lord. Stand and sing. Yes, Lord. Come on, church. Yes, Lord. My life is just sing. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Let your voice sing it out. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours.
Our lives are yours, Lord Jesus. Take them where you want them to go. Make us brave. Give us courage. And all those fears, Lord, we will just simply hang on to you because you are our Lord and our Saviour.